The very beginning of today's daf at Kippur Zayin Menala starts with the halacha of Afuna. Amar Afuna, Hamanar Talisa B'Shabbos Chayav Chatzos. If somebody shakes out their cloak on Shabbos, the Chayav Chatzos, that's considered to be Malabin on some level. One of the Lamites Malachos is Malabin, cleansing, bleaching, scouring the garment, wool, to make it clean. So that's what they used to do in the Mishkan. They would clean out the wool from all of its dirty fibers and all of the dirt so that the wool would be usable. In the Beis HaMikdash for the various garments that the wool needed to be utilized for, the various uses to which wool was utilized in the Beis in the Mishkan. So therefore, it's an av malacha. So if somebody's mechabes, if they cleanse the garments, so that's considered to be at least a talada of the av malacha malabin. So somebody, if he did this unknowingly on Shabbos, would be chayav chatzos. So what exactly is the going on over here? What is the case that is considered to be prohibited? So Rashi says, "Amenaya talisa min ha'afer," that even if there's no water involved, there's no liquid that is being squeezed out or it's being shaken out of the garment, nonetheless, even if it's only dirt, that would constitute an issur, it would be an issur d'oraisa according to Rashi. So Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos divar maslo menaya talisa kosa bein hachananu. Hard to find that the Rabbeinu Hananel actually says this, in our version of Rabbeinu Hananel. But Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel min hatal she'olah, says that it's only from dew that there would be a malacha. In our version of Rabbeinu Hananel seems to be more like Rashi, even if it's dirt. I don't know. But Tosfos has this version, so we'll call it Tosfos. Da'ayno kibus v'libun. This would be a malacha of kibus and libun. If there was dew, if there was liquid, then one would be chayav akata. So Chaim Ashman, he says, from the hemshech of the Gemara, it appears to support this pshat that he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel. Da'avidumya de kumta de Rav Yosef, because there's a case that the Gemara discusses of Rav Yosef that he had some sort of a garment, and the garment had tala on it. So it, at least that's tala, the ika tala aleha, which sounds like we're talking about if there's actual moisture on the garment, and then that moisture is shaken out of the garment. That would be like a kibbutz, if you're cleansing with liquid. But if you're just shaking off dirt, then it doesn't seem that we would have a problem of libun. So this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Do we pass in like Rashi, that even if you're just shaking out dirt from a garment, that's a problem? Or do we pass in like Tosfos, that it's only a problem if there is moisture, if there is rain or water, dew in the garment, and it's shaken out, only that would be a problem of a libun. So the Mechaber paskins like Tosfos, and the Ramah brings the Shita of Rashi, that it is appropriate to be machmir for the Shita of Rashi. But the Shulti HaGibor already points out that there seems to be a contradiction even within the Shita of Tosfos, because over here Tosfos says that libun is not applicable if all that is being shaken out is dirt, unless there is some moisture. But on the Gemara, on Daf Kuf Mem, Amud Aleph, in connection with a sudar, with a cloth, the Gemara over there says that if somebody is rubbing a cloth together for purposes of bringing out the whiteness in the cloth, where Rav Huna over there paskins that it is usur. Then that's a case where, by virtue of rubbing the garment together and causing it to become whiter and cleaner, even though there's no moisture involved, that's considered to be a problem, at least on a drabbanan level, of libun, of melabin, of causing a whitening, a cleansing of the garment. So the Shulta Gevurim doesn't answer the question, just poses the question, why is that considered to be problematic, and it's not. So you could say, well, maybe we don't paskin like that Gemara. But the Rosh paskins are both like Tosfos over here, that if one is shaking out upper, that's not a problem. And yet at the same time, the Rosh paskins with respect to the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph, that it is a problem to rub a sudar together. So even though there's no moisture, that would be a problem of libun. So the Be'er Halacha in Siman Shin Mebeis, in discussing this contradiction that is raised by the Shulti HaGibor, comes up with an answer and says that even according to Tosfos, it's only not considered to be a problem to shake out a garment from dirt. But if you take a garment that has dirt and you're mamish rubbing it together very vigorously in order to bring out the whiteness of the garment, that even Tosfos, even the Rosh would agree, even according to Shitas Tosfos, which is affirmed by the Rosh, if that would be a problem, and that would be usur on Shabbos, and that's why the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfos at the beginning of Siman Shin Beis, but later on in the same Shimon, in the same Siman, also Paskins that it would, I think it's Sipay, also Paskins that rubbing a Sudar together for purposes of bringing out the whiteness would be problematic. So therefore, it's not a completely clean slate according to Tosfos either. However, we see that in the Hemshech of the Gemara, prohibition, whether it's only talking about shaking out moisture, or even it's talking, according to Rashi, about shaking out dirt, is dependent upon kepeda. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that it's only talking about certain types of garments that are very new and where the dirt would really be very visible and very disturbing, like if it was a very dark garment. But if it's a white garment or it's an old garment, so then it's not a problem. If it's an old garment, it's not a problem. Only if it's a black garment, if it's white or red, and then the big punchline is that the person has to actually be makpid. Then the Gemara has a couple of stories where it's said that somebody wasn't makpid and therefore it was okay to shake out the garment. Ula ikla the pumbadisa, chas of rabbanim to come and have sikli mayo. Ula went to pumbadisa, he saw that there were rabbanim who were shaking out the garment. So amakim mechalin rabbanim shabsa, says there were mechal shabbos, how could they shake out the garment? So amalu rabbi yudin, putzi lebi ape, analu kaptidim midi. Said you could shake it out in front of him. Just to demonstrate that this is not a problem because we're not makpid at all. Abaye have a kai coming to Rav Yosef. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef. Amalei havli kusmai chazanika tala leh. Rav Yosef said, he had me my garment. Some say it was a hat. And the Abaye saw that there was tile on it, which we've just said seems like it was moisture. Although, if you look at our version of Rabbeinu Hananel, our version of Rabbeinu Hananel says that it was lichuch, that he saw that there was lichuch, there was dirt on it. He was hesitant to hand it over to him because he didn't want Chassid Shalom for some malacha to be done, that it might be shaken out inadvertently and that would be a problem. So if Yosef told him, it's okay, you can shake it out, even if you consider you're makpid, I'm not makpid, so therefore we don't care at all about these things, it's not a big deal, and therefore you can shake out the dirt. So that's the sugi of the Gemara. So the sugi of the Gemara indicates that Bahakbada Talya Milsa, that if a person's not makpid, so then it would be considered to be okay. So of course that raises the famous Mimonim Shal question. So we used to have this question, I remember raising it in Maor Shakola. We used to bring our halakha questions many years ago. The posek of Maor Shakola used to be Rabbi Sip, used to pass in a lot of the Hilchos Shabbos questions. He was the head of the JSS Kolo for many years, the Maor Shakolo. So my memory serves me correctly. So we asked him about this question because sometimes we would get our jackets dirty. You know, they'd fall on the floor or whatever, the base mattress, you'd pick it up, there'd be a little bit of dirt. We'd ask the question as to whether we could shake out the dirt on Shabbos. So we knew what the halakha stated. That the halakha stated that if you're not makbid, you don't really care about a little bit of dirt, so then it's okay to shake it out. So I remember his answer was, so if you're not makpid, then why would you be shaking it out? That the very fact that you want to shake it out would seem to indicate that you're makpid. So it's kind of like the classic catch-22 halacha, that you're allowed to shake it out if you're not makpid, but the fact that you're shaking it out indicates that you probably have some sort of a hakpada. So this is a question, when does the halacha apply? Do we say, well, that's okay, maybe if we're dealing with a garment that otherwise is problematic, it's a new garment, it's a black garment, and you're also makpid, so that's then you have every single problem under the sun. But let's say that it's not new and it's not black, so then it's okay anyway. Even if you're presumably, then you're going to be okay. So the Mishnah, so then maybe it doesn't matter even if you are makpid. So the Mishnah points out, no, that if you're makpid, so it's always going to be a problem. It's just that we assume that if it's new and it's black, then chances are you're makpid unless we know for sure that you're not makpid. But if it's not new and it's not black, so then we assume that you're not makpid unless we know for sure that you are makpid. But if you are makpid, that's always going to be a problem. Not only that, the Mishnah and the Aruch HaShulchan both say that this category that it's only a problem if it's new, it's difficult to define up until what point in time do we say that something is still new. It could be that even if it's 3 years old, it's still relatively new if you don't use it every single day. Maybe that's still considered to be new. So these different categories and dispensations are very difficult to define, especially since it's always going to be considered to be a problem on some level if a person is really makpid, the way that we assume halacha lemaaseh. So some are more lenient about this and some are more machmir about this. If you assume that a person wouldn't want to shake it out unless they're makbid, so the whole halacha is kind of difficult to be magdir. So when would the halacha be applicable? So the Shmir Shavuos Kehilchosa has a footnote in Perek Tesavav, Sivkot and Peites, in the Shmir Shavuos Kehilchosa. He has this in the text also, but he says in the text over there in the Shmir Shabbos that if a person would not be makbid about a certain garment during the week and is only makbid on Shabbos, so then that's not considered to be a problem. It's only if a person is makbid all the time. So if a person wears a hat the rest of the week and they're wearing the same hat on Shabbos, so during the rest of the week they wouldn't care if there was a little bit of dirt. And on Shabbos they care that there's a little bit of dirt, since they're not normally makbid about the fact that there's some dirt. So therefore, it's okay for them to shake it out on Shabbos. That would be all right. And he also says that not only shaking it out is okay, but even if you brush it very lightly with your finger, that's considered to be equivalent to shaking it out. As long as you're not using some sort of a hard brush to shake it out, you're just doing sort of a light light shake with your finger, so that's also considered to be in the category of shaking it out. What's his raya? That even if you're makbid on Shabbos, if you're not makbid during the week, it's okay. So his raya is from our Gemara. The Gemara has on the fifth line over here that when Ula went to Pumbedisa, because of a button, he saw the rabbis, the Kamenatzi Glimayu. He saw that they were shaking out their garments. And they explained that we're not makbid. So he asked, so why were they very deliberately shaking out their garments? It sounds like this was something that they were doing not a kind of just as a passing automatic movement, but something which was a deliberate action on their part, that's something that they cared about. So he says that from the Lashon of Rabbanan, the Kamenafsi Glimayu, sounds like it was an official position of theirs, that they, Bedakka, wanted to shake out their garments, and they held that it was okay, because of the fact that during the week they weren't makbid about it. I'm not sure if that's Pashu Peshat in the Gemara. That's how he says Hashem Azaman Orbach understood the Gemara, that this was a deliberate thing. On Shabbos they cared about it, but it was okay because they didn't care about it during the week. But the Gemara doesn't say Anan lo kabdina midi bimos hachol, just as Anan lo kabdina midi, we don't care about it at all. So that, again, it's the question, what's the dividing line between not caring and yet shaking it out anyway? So why are you deliberately shaking it out if you don't care? So that's a question. So because we don't really know the answer to that question, so the Be'er Halacha says that it's better to avoid shaking it out altogether. If one really needs to shake it out, then they should do it kala'acho yad, b'derach shinoy. And it should be done, I don't know exactly how one does it with a shinoy, or kala'acho yad. And the whole shaking out process seems like, by definition, however you do it, it's like, you know, in some kala'acho yad way. It's not like a normal thing that people do. But he says if you can figure out a kala'acho yad, b'derach shinoy way of doing it, maybe you kind of rub it off with your elbow or something like that. So even if you think that you're not makbid and there's grounds to be makel, so it's better to do it in that fashion. Because of the fact that it's a machlokas ladina between the Mechaber and the Ramah, even the Ramah just says tov lahachmir, because Tosfos disagrees with Rashi altogether and thinks that if there's no wetness involved, so then it should be mutar legamri. So the Mishnah Berurah says that there's one dispensation that will allow based on kavod abriyos. So if a person sees that their pants are dirty, their jacket is dirty, maybe even if they are makbid a little bit, but because of the fact that Tosa says that if there's no moisture, there's no problem altogether, so he says amiva la'akum would be mutter. You can turn to a non-Jewish person, and the laundry woman in Marash HaKadosh or whatever, you can turn to a non-Jewish person and ask that person to shake out your garment, and that would be permissible in this particular context. Yes, you had a question?
No, but I was just thinking there was a story with the Chafetz Chaim. He was with the Rabbanim. They were about to meet the Tsar, and it was on a Shabbos. And one of the Rabbanim like rubbed his garment against the wall, and it got the whiteness on it. And they were having a whole discussion about what they could do to, you know, on Shabbos. That's what I was thinking about.
Sorry. Okay. Thank you for contributing that story. So, if you assume like Tosfo said that we're even talking about when there might be some moisture on the garment, that ends up being a kula, because the Gemara says, well, if there's no kapedus, then you're allowed to shake out even if there's some moisture. I might think that that's much more like a cleansing, much more like malave. Maybe Rashi wouldn't be so inclined, but Tosfo paskins that it would be mutter. Even if there's some moisture involved, you're allowed to shake it out as long as there is no kapeda. When we assume, if there's a suffix, whether or not you have kapeda, so you can assume that if it's not a new dark garment, so then you could be more makel in the event that you have a suffix, whether you're makpid or not, to say maybe you're not makpid. So then he says if there's moisture, you would be allowed to shake it out. So that's a question. How vigorously would you be allowed to shake it out if there is moisture? So the pashtus is if there is actual moisture involved, that you wouldn't be allowed to shake it out too vigorously, because if you shake it out too vigorously and you're releasing liquid from the fibers of the fabric of the garment, that already would be an issur shechita. So one would have to be particularly, Mishabura points this out, one would have to be particularly careful in the event that there is moisture and one is shaking it out, that you would have to be careful if that not to shake it out vigorously. If you shake it out vigorously, that would be a problem of shechita. And this comes up if somebody, for example, goes out in the rain and they have rain on their coat and they want to shake out the coat afterwards. If you shake it out vigorously, so that would be a problem of shechita. If it's not vigorous, so you might have, if it's not a new dark coat that you're makpid upon, so you might have room to be makel to shake it out a little bit, but you couldn't shake it out vigorously because that would be a problem of shechita. Okay, yeah? You have a question? Okay, yes, Ellie.
Is that by begaldim, which I could absorb the water, like boots when I or something when a person walks in and...
Yeah, it's only absorbent. If it's not absorbent, for example, Rav Moshe writes in Chelik base of Yerodea, actually, it's in the Simenai above, so Derech Agav, he has another tshuva there, and then the person asks some additional questions. So one of the questions had to do with plastic. And Rav Moshe writes that plastic is completely non-absorbent. So if you wanted to shake it, let's say you were wearing a plastic raincoat and you want to shake it out vigorously, it's not a problem because there's no absorption. And that actually leads to the next halacha that relates to this particular inyan, and that is the last comment of the Ramah at the beginning of Simin Shin Bei. So after the Ramah quotes the Chumah of Rashi, so then the Ramah says, however, let's say I have some feathers that are not absorbed in the fabric of the garment altogether. So he says, in the event that I have some feathers, Bamutza lahasir hanotzos, to mean a beged b'shabbos, you're allowed to remove feathers from a beged on Shabbos. So he quotes in Orza Ruah. So why is it that one would be allowed to remove feathers? So the answer is that if something is completely not attached to the garment altogether, it's separate and distinct from the garment, and it's not at all absorbed in the fibers of the garment, it is sort of independent of the garment, so then that you're allowed to remove altogether. That's not even a problem of kpeda, even if somebody is mamish makbid about it, but it's not at all absorbed, like, for example, you have some lint. You have a piece of lint, or you have a feather, or you have something of that sort that has absolutely no absorption whatsoever. They ask the question, how are you allowed to remove it outright? Isn't it muktzah? So they explain, no, it's batel gabe the garment. It's just that it's so insignificant that it's just batel, since it's on the garment and it's batel to the garment, so you're allowed to push it away. So that would be permissible to remove on Shabbos. Yes?
Is there, I've always heard there's an issue with bora.
Seems not so. The assumption is that it's to be called precisely for this reason, because of the fact that it's not embedded in the garment, so therefore that's why this would be okay. That's the general assumption. Yeah.
Use a lint brush.
Lint brush, I don't know. That might be within the chol. And also, the more you use a brush, the concern is that the brushes might actually extract a portion of what got into the garment that actually is embedded in the garment. So, for example, let's say I have some crumbs on a carpet. They talk about using a carpet sweeper. So the postman say you shouldn't use a carpet sweeper on Shabbos. Why not? Because even though if I have crumbs that say are on top of the carpet, I have like a couple of Cheerios or something like that, they're not embedded in the garment, so I can pick them up. I can even use a light broom in order to be or to wipe them away from the garment. But I have a lot of stuff that I have to wipe away from the carpet, right? But a lot of stuff that's fallen on the carpet, and they're like little crumbs that might have become embedded in the fibers of the carpet, so then it becomes more problematic. And a carpet sweeper, number one, is a problem because of opening the fall, and number two is a problem because it's so thorough that in addition to picking up at the crumbs that might be above the surface that would presumably have the din of like notzos, in, as the Ramah puts it, you might also pick up pieces that would be embedded in the carpet as well. So that's why you should avoid using a carpet sweeper. But otherwise, the Ramah basically is a basis for the heter of cleaning a carpet on Shabbos if you have just a few crumbs which are not embedded between the fibers of the carpet, because that would be similar to the situation of notzos.
A Also, sorry, all these. Do you know that the thing that you pick up crumbs with on Shabbat? I mean, not on Shabbat, just in general, from a table. You ever see those things?
Right, so that probably is okay, because I don't think that there's anything embedded in the fibers of whatever tablecloth you have on the table, so I don't think that would be, doesn't strike me as being in the same category as a carpet sweeper, the Fiani Ostaiti. So the Ber Halacha quotes a Bahag. This is in a long Ber Halacha on the Siman, the Dibur HaMaskio, it's the Dibur HaMaskio. So he quotes a Bahag who talks about how if you have other types of substances that are embedded in the garment, it would be similar to the way that we treat the dirt and so forth. Says Menar Adam Talisa Kedrav Yehuda. We hold that if you're not makpid, then you are allowed to shake out your garments, right? Rav Huna said that you can't, and Rav Yehuda said, well, if you're not makpid, then it's okay. Yashiv lo zera pishton otashil al kisuso. Let's say though that a little bit of flaxseed, or my wife uses flaxseed to bake the challah. Oh, tashil, or you have some sort of a dish. You have a little bit of chillin that got on the person's kesuso, on the person's garment. So mutta l'kachol, he says, you can peel it off. You have like a bean or something, he says, you can peel it off. So he asked the question, the Ber Halacha, where did the Bahag get this halacha from? So he says that he must have gotten it from our version of Rabbeinu Hananu. Rabbeinu Hananu, as I mentioned, seems to say that when Abaye saw that Rav Yosef's garment or hat had tala aleha, so he understands that the word tala doesn't mean dafka du, but it means any kind of lichloch. So he says that it must mean that any kind of davatinuf, any kind of thing which causes dirtiness, such as zera pishtan or a tafshil, would be subject to the halakha which is described in our Gemara, namely that if a person is not a makpid, they would be allowed to shake it off or scrape it off, but if a person is makpid, so then they wouldn't be allowed to take it off. So that's why the Bahag puts these two halakhas together. But then he asks a question based on the Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph says that you're allowed to scrape off tit. If you have some mud that's on the garment, you're allowed to scrape it off. And it's mashma from that Gemara that even though the person is completely makpid, that it doesn't depend upon hakpada, whether the person is makpid about the tit or not. Even if the person's very makpid, and that's why he wants to get the tit off, but the Gemara seems to indicate that he's allowed to scrape it off, right? He can scrape it off with his fingernail. It says so explicitly in the Gemara. So why is it that we're more makel about tit? So here's another very important principle. So he gives two terutzim. He says, one terutz is, well, maybe even that case is talking about where it's not a new garment or the person's not makpid. Or we could assume the person's not makpid. We know the person's not makpid. Or, and he says, the huay ikr, this is the ikr teretz, the tit she'al gav bigdo, that if you have tit, you have mud on a person's garment, after megaro b'tziporin, even if he scrapes it off with his fingernail, ein maver hakesen legari, he's not going to get the stain off entirely, rak de megaro obia tit milmala. He'll just be able to scrape off the part of the mud that is not embedded in the garment. And therefore, since he's not going to cleanse the garment entirely, he's just scraping off the upper surface and not the bottom surface of what is embedded in the garment, so that's always going to be permissible, even in the event that somebody is makpid. So this leads to another heter. If somebody has some dirt, they have some stain, they're eating cholent very vigorously, and some of the cholent happens to plop onto their suit jacket, and they are makpid because they don't want the cholent on their suit jacket. So this leads to a kula that if somebody takes their fingernail and they just snap off the upper surface of what fell on their garment, but they're not causing the garment to be cleansed entirely, they're not rubbing it together and cleansing it entirely, they're just causing the upper surface that's not embedded in the fibers of the garment to come off, so that would be permissible according to this understanding of the Gemara regarding the tit, because that's not a complete cleansing, as long as you're not cleaning off the entire stain, but just the upper surface of the stain, so that would be okay. Yes.
The way Rebbe is saying it, it sounds like just to try and just snap off the tap, is it okay also to try and do one's best to get it all off if the metzias.
Well, if if you're doing it through a scraping motion, the Gemara describes with a fingernail, so then I think that might be problematic. If you're doing it with what I'm suggesting, the snapping notion, so then you have the benefit kind of two halachos. Number one, you have the benefit that you're only going to get off the upper surface, so therefore it's like the case of the tip. And number two, because of the fact that you're doing it in a fashion in which there's no way in the world that you would be able to separate what is embedded in the fibers of your garment, it would be like the case of the notos. It would be like the case of that which is totally separate and distinct from the garment itself, where we said that even if you're makbid, you could take the entire thing off. So if it happens that when you snap it off with your finger, the whole thing comes off. So I would say that presumably that's megala, that none of it was actually embedded in the garment, which is why the snapping motion is actually the better of the motions, because this way there's the possibility you can get the whole thing off and do it in a derech shel heter. Okay, so that pretty much is the summary, I think, of this particular halacha. When you have the dirt in the garment, you have some sort of dust which happens to fall upon the garment. So the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is a very important point to finish up with. The Mishnah Berurah just says that because of the fact that this is a very common occurrence, that people often will end up getting a certain dustiness, that things do fall to the floor, and it's a lot of dust in the air and the like, one should be particularly scrupulous on Shabbos, that when one puts their hat away, for example, on Friday night for the morning, that they should tuck it away in a very safe place. If they don't normally put it in their hat box, they should put it in their hat box on Friday night, so that they don't come to this type of potential mitzvah, because since there are a lot of different factors and there are a lot of variables, and it's not always so easy to keep all the variables straight and to avoid the potential of any issue, the best thing is to make sure to really work hard to keep your clothes as clean and as spotless as possible on Shabbos, to put them in a safe place. If you normally throw your pants over a table in a public place where your kids are running around and might splash it or splatter your clothes with dirt or with food in the morning, so you should be more careful to tuck away your clothes in a safe place where they're less likely to become dirty, especially on Friday night going into Shabbos morning. So that is kind of the Tova Kamash Malan that comes out of this entire discussion. So I just wanted to mention very briefly that in the continuation of the Gemara, there's a lot of confusing mamarim about wearing a talus and kupelis, that you're putting on a talus and you're folding it over your shoulders, and it sounds like it's a chiyuv katas just for kind of putting the folds of your talus on top of your shoulders. So what's going on over there? So the basic upshot of the discussion is the Tshuvas HaRashba that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Aleph, I think Sif Lamed, that basically kind of summarizes the bottom line of the whole discussion, that if you're wearing a garment, whether it's a talus or coat or something or anything like that, you're doing it derech mabush, you're doing it in the fashion in which people normally wear it, so then you're basically going to be okay. But the case that the Gemara was talking about is you take a talus, and instead of putting it over your body, just like wrapping the whole thing around your neck, and kind of like somebody who's just doesn't know too much about Judaism and puts on a talus for the first time, so they sometimes don't know that it's supposed to go on the entire body, and just wrap it around their neck. So if you're doing it like that, so that's the kind of case that's really problematic. If you're wearing the talus in the normal course, most people take the folds of the talus on the bottom and they elegantly place it on top of their shoulders a little bit, but they're still wearing the rest of their talus. It's not distinct from their body. The rest of the talus is draped over the rest of their body, so then that would be presumed to be okay. But the Gemara has an interesting distinction between if a person is picking up the talus from the ground because it doesn't want it to drag on the ground. So the Gemara says, well, if it's lit kanufe, then it's usuli, it's naus would be shari. If it's just for gathering it up, that would be prohibited. If it's for decorous purposes, it would be permissible. So Rashi says, the kanufe means that you're making a permanent cup, so it's like a makabe patish problem, but otherwise it would be okay. Anything else seems to be lit naus. But the Rambam says that even, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and I believe Siman Shin Aleph, Sif Lamed Aleph, that if you're picking it up, Kadesh Lo Yislach Lechu, that even for purposes that it shouldn't get dirty, because it's so low down, you're afraid you're walking into shul, it's going to drag in the mud, so that actually could be problematic. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to draw a distinction between a talis that is kind of a limited use garment and a regular coat that you might wear, which is more obviously a garment. So if it's a limited use garment like a talis, and you're going to pick up all the sides of the talis and kind of hold it in your hands in order to avoid having it fall in the mud. Let's say you're wearing it because you're in a place that doesn't have an Erev, or you don't hold it by the Erev, so that actually would be problematic. If you're lifting up the bottom of your regular coat because you don't want it to fall into the mud, so it's because it's a regular coat, so you're wearing it, so that would be less problematic. But with the talis, even though you can be makel if you're wearing a talis to fold it a little bit, as long as you're still essentially wearing it on your garment. But if you're actually lifting up all of the fringes of the talis and carrying it in your hand, and it's a place that doesn't have a proper Erev, so that actually is something that you'd have to be careful about.
That's the problem.
The problem is that you're kind of carrying a portion of the you're carrying a portion of the garment. You're not wearing
it
the whole thing.
Let's say tie it around you. Or
something. So let's talk about that. Can you tie it like tie the whole thing like a belt? So if you're meshalshel it in such a way, the lechatchila, where basically the whole thing is being worn, you're not carrying any of it, you just folded it a little bit so that based on the way you folded it, it's a little bit above the ground more than it would have been otherwise, so that it doesn't drag out from your coat. You did the lechatchila, but you're not holding it in your hands, so that would be mutter. That would be perfectly permissible, but you have to be careful to do that. There's also a little bit of a discussion as to whether, since it's a talisha mitzvah, you only really have the right to wear it when you're walking to shul for purposes of wearing it for a mitzvah during the daytime when people wear a talis. What if you wanted to wear your talis at night? Who in the right mind is going to walk around with a talis at night? Maybe you want to wear it at night because you want to walk to shul Friday night. You're going to leave it in shul Friday night and you're going to wear it Shabbos morning. So it's not a problem of hachana because it's Friday night for Shabbos for Shabbos. It's not a problem of hachana. But is that okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, since it's a garment, the Talis Shemitz is a garment, assuming that tzitzis are kosher and everything else, so you would be allowed to wear it at night. The Shari Tshuva assumes that way too, of course, the Shari Gazariot. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, kind of like one of these Nira Lee comments, and towards the end of Siman Shin Aleph, the Aruch HaShulchan says that he thinks not. He thinks that because it's a Talis Shemitz, it only really has a shaved garment during the daytime when it's shy to wear it as a Talis Shemitz, with one exception. You know what this one exception is? The night of Yom Kippur. So the one exception is the night of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur night, he thinks, would be perfectly okay. But otherwise, the Aruch HaShulchan is more machmir on this particular question. Okay, we'll end here. I think there's one question. No? Okay, good.